Yeah, man.
Fast swing, early grave.
Only a bunkhouse.
But that in the side as steep as it was at Jericho. And it rained last night. Only an act of God will save you now.
Or a good nibbler. I can't get the hang of these newfangled balls.
They were just as bad with a feathery. Gutty percha merely shoes you up the more.
Ah, one day the deal may shove his pitchfork up your backside, and I hope it's a slow swing. Now then,
dear me.
Well, is it plugged?
Difficult to say, Archie.
Are you going blind now?
I see what I see. Here, look yourself.
Well, in my professional opinion, judging from the waxy skin in that hand and the general lack of movement, I would say that is a dead body.
With my ball underneath.
We'll have to stick a rolling.
Spring is a season I have always regarded with the greatest suspicion. The sluggish thick blood of the dark months drains away, and sap begins to rise in the body criminal. New wild ventures sprout in mind from seeds the devil sowed in autumn, and an early harvest beckons. I am James McCleavy, Inspector of Police. My parish is Leith in the city of Edinburgh, a warren of impoverished streets and wynds which coil round each other like so many rats' tails as they slither down to the docks and sea. High up on the hill are rats of a different kind, sleek, full-bellied, waistcoated, and sometimes gowned. I am the harvester. Rich or poor, high or low, they fall under the blade of the law.
The man's a colossus.
Come on, Constable, down we go.
Careful for the ball.
What?
Can we get a ruling?
No, to move it.
The ball will be impounded.
Eh?
Evidence. Here's a fella out for a saunter on the course. Smack between the eyes, down he goes. Like Goliath.
He was dead long before we get here.
How would you know?
I used to be an undertaker.
We never had a coffin his size.
Turn them over, Mulholland.
Well, well. Dummy Bob.
You ken him?
Indeed we do. See here, sir, this wound to the side of the temple, I would venture it to be the cause of death.
Would you know?
Deep indent, sharp metal instrument, possibly.
Help me unlock his hand. So, Professor, what do you make of this?
Cloth, checked, rough weave, stained with gore. Piece of tea towel, tablecloth.
Or nightshirt?
Not my style. I'll put it in the evidence bag.
Do that. Either of you two sporting bloods come round the other side of this bunker?
No, we never went there.
Well, somebody did. Left a footmark in the mud up here.
A boot. Wellington. Small size. I'll cut out the sod. It should cake up nicely in the sun.
What about us?
What about you?
Can we proceed the round? I'm one hole to the good.
No, you cannot. You will go down to the station, waken Sergeant Murdoch at his desk, and make out a statement.
And what are you two going?
Not only do we know the man, but we also know his gainful employer.
Jean Brash. Were I king of the dark, she would be queen of the night. If you shook her sleeve, enough assorted crimes spilled out as would fill a mansion. And that's what she had. The just land. A large house on the higher reaches of my parish, in Selkirk Street. The tradesman's entrance looked back down on the wynds where she had once plied her trade, but the front gates set their face towards respectable conduits of commerce, from whence now came her clients. Upstanding men whose urges needed alleviation outside the narrow rectitude of the marriage bed. Jean had gone up in the world, and it was my job to bring her down. Many a time I thought to have her within my glorious grip, but each occasion she slithered free. She had a wit as sharp as sin, the beauty of Delilah, and the devil's own luck. Her old body house, the Happy Land, had been burnt down by vigilantes, yet she had risen from the ashes like some dubious phoenix.
Only the finest blends for my clients.
We're not clients.
One day, who knows, you may rise to the occasion. Constable Mulholland, they tell me you've joined the chess club and show promise. Dites-moi, do you know the Queen's opening?
I may have come across it.
So intriguing, is it not, to be on higher ground? You look back at those left behind and wonder, how ever did I associate with them?
This coffee lacks character.
A refined taste. It may not sit so easily on your buds.
Dummy Bob.
What of him?
He works for you.
I keep him for his size, in case some of the judge's sons get boisterous. Well, what's he accused of? He hasn't the brains for crime. And don't tell me you've a confession, because he can't speak.
Especially not now.
He's dead, Jean. His head stove in, on a golf course. Another game you've taken up?
Don't be stupid. I don't believe you.
Come kiss the corpse.
But Bob's a total innocent, just a big baby. Gentle as a lamb. Who'd want to...
When did you see him last?
2 days ago. It's time off yesterday. Monday. Monday's a quiet day. Not like Sunday.
Why would he be on the links, Mistress Brash?
I have no idea.
Well, that's not like you, Jean. You're usually full of ideas. Was Bob helping with one of them?
Mistress, the piano fixer's here. Do you have any particular instructions?
Just tell him to tune it, Jessie.
I'll relay that. And, we're not far off the hour of custom.
Gentlemen, unless you have anything other to ask me, I have a business to run.
And a fine business it is, too. We'll be talking, Jean.
I tremble at the prospect.
Pawn to Queen 4.
What?
The Queen's opening, I think.
We'll see ourselves out.
Were you listening?
A wee bit. Poor Bob.
I warned him. Keep away from bad company.
What are you looking at me for?
You are merely in my line of vision, Jessie.
Leith Links. Thank God we left that course these 20 years to the scuffers and the seagulls.
Who would the we be, sir?
The Honourable Company of Edinburgh Golfers, of which I am proud to be a member. We are now at Royal Musselburgh, and no dead bodies need apply. Do you play the game, Constable? It is a requisite for a young man in society.
I used to whack pebbles on the farm.
With what?
A shepherd's crook.
We are a little more refined over here. Look at the time. I'll be late for lunch at the club. Best foot forward, Inspector.
Your servant, I, Lieutenant Roach.
We cannot have unsolved murder on a golf course. Even Leith Links. Clear it up. We don't want it hanging over the big match.
What match would that be, sir?
Surely you know, Mulholland, that at Royal Musselburgh on Saturday, our club professional Tam Lucas marches down the fairway with the English champion Harold Simpson.
I would have thought everyone knew that. Sharp wee contest, is it, sir?
Aye. Much money and prestige rides upon it. We cannot let the English beat us down, McLeavy.
Aye, they've had some success in the past.
You solve the crime. We'll beat the English.
Not if there's money involved.
I should never have mentioned that shepherd's crook.
My constable had been showing classic signs of an anxiety to move upwards in society, joining many gentlemen's clubs and souking up to Lieutenant Roach at every available opportunity. It was therefore a pleasure to see him bunkered by his origins. As to the case, we had precious little. No sign of the murder weapon, though the doctor confirmed that it might well have had a metal edge, a rough blood-stained cloth, and the cast of a footmark. Which left Dummy Bob. What was he doing on the links? And was it somehow connected to Jean Brash? Whatever it was, he was there at someone else's bidding. Jean Brash spoke true. Bob didn't hear the brains. But he did have an old friend, Rab the Delver. A clever wee pickpocket, but not clever enough to avoid 2 prison sentences. He would not be looking for a third. They had a room together in one of the wines. Rab was full of protestations of what bon accord he and Bob had kept, and what a dirty shame it all was. But at the same time, his hand, unbeknownst to himself, had kept scratching away at the side of his trousers.
Turn out your pockets.
Eh?
You heard me.
You've no reason.
I could hold him upside, sir.
Don't drop him. It's a long way down.
I've held many a greasy pig for the slaughter, man.
All right. Keep your paws to yourself.
What's this? A sharp wee knife?
Cut the straps on a lady's purse, eh?
You've no proof. Whistle on.
And here, on your own purse, 2 shiny half croons.
Where did you get them? Steal them?
Whistle on.
Don't have me give you special attention, Rab. They say the third sentence is the hardest. It grinds you down till your bones are powder. Now, where did you get the coin?
Bob gave me them. To keep for him. He was aye running errands for folk. I asked new coin in payment. Shiny. He liked that.
What was he delivering, Rab? And who for?
How did he ken?
But you knew he had the money. You followed him in the dark, struck him down, killed and robbed him like a coward.
I didn't, eh?
Then who killed him, Rab?
And who gave him the money?
He had it when he came back for the Just Land on Sunday night. That's all I care.
Jean Brash gave it to him.
I asked him what it was, but he just gurgled and laughed. Hellish annoying noise he used to make.
A stub of tongue has that effect.
Gurgled and laughed till I threw a chair at him.
Then you killed him.
Does he ever gee up?
Only for Lent. Anything else? Don't hide from me, Rab. I see you.
Well, it was maybe nothing, but I asked him again, and he laughed, and then he turned his collar back to front.
Oh, this is the life, is it no, mistress? Oh, look, there's Nanny Smith, still plying at her agent in the broad daylight. She must be desperate.
We all get there eventually, Jessie.
Angus? Slow down. Nanny, here, catch.
A whole half crown, I wouldn't.
It's not your money.
No, I'll keep mine tight.
Spoken like a true East Coaster, Jessie.
Oh, God, McCleavy, you look like a gargoyle hanging there.
Was that a half crown you threw?
Yes.
Was it new?
I don't trust new coin.
I have a question for you to answer.
Anything to get your great book at heed out of my carriage window.
Sunday night. Any men of the cloth amongst your clientele?
Oh, inundated. The General Assembly that day.
Why do you want to know?
One of them may have given Dummy Bob an errand to run, which led to his death.
That would be shameful.
But like I say, half the clergy.
Some had the vocation, but not the appearance. Some the appearance, but not the vocation.
What does that mean?
Work it out, if you have the brains.
Oh, I have the brains.
Then exercise them. But I bet you won't come up with the answer. I bet good money. Whip them on, Angus. Au revoir, McCleavy.
Till we meet again, Jean Brash.
You think that was wise, mistress?
In what way?
You could get me into trouble.
I liked Bob.
I don't like Derry Nesbitt.
You take his money.
That's different. That's business.
People were laughing at you, sir.
Were they now?
With your backside sticking out of that carriage. Somebody said you looked like a prize porker at the trough.
Who said that?
It might have been myself.
Tell me. If you were a betting man, with whom would you lay your money in this fair city?
I'm not, but if I was, the big two are Johnny Runcorn and Pastor Nesbitt.
So called because...
He puts on the air of a churchman and dresses so always black with a wee white collar.
I keep a select list of evildoers and Nesbitt's down near at the top. He worships money and has destroyed many lives in its ruthless pursuit. A terrible thing, the gambling, Mulholland.
Come away, my congregation. The 4 o'clock is near to commence. No more predilections.
I've already laid my wager.
And a fine, strong wager it was. And don't forget these generous odds for the gowf on Saturday. I'm offering 3-1 against Tom Lucas.
Some pity you are.
I have seen Harold Simpson Placer drive as straight as the rod of Aaron. I regret to say Tom Lucas will not prevail.
£12 says otherwise.
Good money. Your ticket, sir. May we meet on Saturday evening. May you hold out your hand.
I want a bet on. A horse. 4 legs.
That's McCleavy. Come on out, Ennis.
Strange, Inspector, how your appearance empties out the temple.
A bet, I said.
Has the animal a name?
The Just Land.
No such runner.
It's a horse you ride often.
Sunday night at Jean Brash's.
You spoke with Dummy Bob.
I heard of his death, poor soul.
You gave him money.
I did not.
You were seen.
An arrant lie.
2 new half-crowns, hand to hand.
I'm a bookmaker. I give money to no one. I said hello to Dummy Bob at the door as usual and passed on by. No more than that.
Just a social visit, then.
I have a weakness for the well-kept bordello.
All right, come on!
Ah, the race is on. You must excuse me, gentlemen. Each to his calling.
We'll find your business, me Bob. Don't you worry. Nothing sacred in the whorehouse.
You'll find nothing. I'll lay good money on it.
That's your catchphrase, is it not, sir?
You persecute the wrong man, Inspector.
I think not, Pastor. I think not.
Usual method, eh, sir?
Uh-huh.
In the absence of anything better?
Indeed, in the absence of anything better, stir up the wasp's nest, see who they stick.
Your honour is in fine form tonight. The courtroom in uproar at his wit. Now he must take these 2 wicked wagtails away and pass down sentence.
There's champagne for for the clan MacGregor!
On its way, as you are yourself. Off you go. To see him tomorrow morning, Jesse, laying down the law on some poor wretch who snacks a loaf of bread. No wonder I hold such an ill opinion of justice.
Aye, but he's spending like a sailor.
I'm going to my room. If there's need, call me.
There'll be no need. I am here.
Oh, so you are, Jesse. So you are. What would I do without you?
Doesn't he bear thinking about, mistress?
You're right. So, I won't. Oh, me. What a life.
Yet consider the alternative.
There, Mammy. Don't fret. He'll be home soon. Daddy will be home soon.
And then, too hot.
There. Is that better? Now go to sleep.
Can I please?
Go to sleep now. That new medication will help.
Don't go.
I won't leave you. Don't you worry.
Tom.
Home soon. Now, off to sleep. Go on now. Sweet dreams, Mammy. Sweet dreams. As long as you live, Derry, never come into my room again unless invited.
A moment of confidence, that's all I seek.
What do you want?
McCleavy is tapping at my window pane, looking through the glass like a bird of ill omen. Who put him into flight, I wonder? Who pointed his sharp, shiny beak in my direction?
Take your pick from most who know you.
I could number you amongst that.
If McCleavy is on your trail, it is little to do with me. We are not bosom friends, he and I.
Good. He seems to think that I have some connection to the unfortunate demise of Dummy Bob. And here's me hardly said two words to the man.
Don't lie, Derry. I'm not the police. I'm not stupid.
How am I lying?
On Sunday night, you left, you spoke to Dummy Bob outside in the shadows, handed him a piece of paper. You were seen.
Ah. Young Jessie. I thought I viewed her face at the window.
You were seen.
I'd quite forgotten. So must you. And so must Jessie.
You may go now.
Young Jessie, such a pretty wee face. May the good Lord grant that it always remains so.
Get out. Don't come back. Your custom is no longer desired.
Oh, that's fine. That's quite fine. This place is too tame for my tastes at any event.
Your tastes are despicable.
Dummy Bob. No great loss.
I liked him. Now he's dead.
We all have to die sometime, Jean. There are colleagues of mine whose speciality is in arranging that very thing. Good night.
Evil. I sifted the events of the last few days and was left with a residue of feeling, an instinct, a shadow of a shadow, almost beyond words. Evil. I sensed it, creeping like a black stain, corrupting everything it touched. Pastor Nesbitt carried it like the plague, and I was determined to destroy this pestilence at the very source. I'd cure him like a side of bacon hung on a butcher's hook.
Sleeping Beauty at the desk. Oh.
I asked Sergeant Murdoch to convey that your presence on arrival was requested here, yes. Come in, McCleavy.
Thank you, sir.
This is Miss Sarah Lucas.
Miss Lucas.
And you know Tam Lucas here.
I've heard of him.
And you'll have heard I made a right neep heed of myself last night.
Mr. Lucas was involved in a small fracas.
In Doherty's Tavern.
That place is a dive.
And I dove into the whiskey.
Bad the night before, twice as bad in the morning.
Oh, no lie. I'm sweating like buckets.
Dad, that's for your clubs. Here, take my hanky.
Well, I'll look you all in the eye and make my apologies.
All over now, Tam, but no way to prepare for the contest.
Adam's ale from now on.
Perhaps you were under tension, sir. Trying to forget, you know, letting off steam.
My father is not a locomotive.
That's enough, Sarah.
I'll see you both through the station door.
Good luck on Saturday, Mr. Lucas. Let's hope you don't find a body in the bunker.
McCleavy, you cannot hold the entire golfing fraternity responsible for a death on Leith Links. Besides, the man was a criminal.
He associated with such, but in himself he was innocent enough. From birth he was unable to speak. He never told his story. He did not deserve to die.
Let's hope you catch the culprit.
I'm on the trail.
And so am I.
Leave you to it, then. Come on, Sarah.
Miss Lucas, are you all right?
Oh, yes. I was up all last night with my mother.
Aye.
Come on then, Tam. Miss Lucas, I'll see you up.
McCleavy. Max
Duke's remark was in very poor taste.
Sorry, sir. A hook shot.
You seem in a very good mood, Inspector.
You saw the piece of cloth he took out.
I did indeed. For his clubs, she said.
Aha, yes. It looked very much the same material as the one found by the body. Lucas is a wee man, small of foot, but no doubt strong of arm.
And a thing more, what started the fight. Tam Lucas thought someone had picked his pocket. The man was released early this morning, no charges pressed. The whiskey blamed.
Good for service.
Been looking for you all day, Ram.
And night.
Tam Lucas, charges will now be pressed.
He was rotten, fool.
We have two witnesses, respectable old men.
Sober, they saw you, hand in pocket.
Your third sentence, that's a severity.
They see your life out.
Very sad. You can leave the bottle.
Come on now.
No, wait, McCleavy, have a pity.
Tell me the truth or I'll wrap your soul in irons and leave it to rot in Perth Penitentiary.
All right, I want it back,
What do you mean?
Well, I've not been myself since Bob died.
I can see that. Get on.
I saw him in Doherty's. I thought, he took for Bob, I'll tack for him, but he's a wiry swine. He felt the touch. I took nothing.
Here, have a dram.
Oh, you're a good man, Inspector.
He took from Bob, what do you mean?
The night Bob died, he pulled out a paper bag from under the bed, hidden it there, the crafty big devil. Thought I was asleep. He took a piece of paper from the bag, read it, threw it on the fire and left. But the fire was small embers, eh? I don't believe in wasting coal when the weather's picking up like
that. The paper!
I weaked it out. A name was on it.
Give it to me.
Well, it's our here. So would this help me, Inspector?
That depends.
Uh-huh. Well, here you are.
Well, well.
Fine, elegant hand.
And the name written is not unknown.
Which brought Mulholland and I the next morning to Royal Musselburgh Golf Course. The place was heaving, fanatics of both sexes squinting in the spring sunshine and earnestly discussing such topics as mashy niblicks, putting cleeks, and long spoons, an instrument I always thought was only of use when supping with the devil.
The contest begins in the quarter hour, ladies and gentlemen. And I would ask you to observe the rules of the royal game at all times.
Both contenders were on the practice ground. Tam Lucas, a compact wee man, reserved, watchful, despite all the stramash around him. The English champion, Simpson, in contrast, a large side of beef. His complexion spoke of all kinds of weather or a great deal of port. Perhaps both. All attention was fixed on the two, so I judged the moment propitious to dispatch Mulholland. As he duked into the crowd in what I hoped would be a fruitful errand, I moved to where the bookies plied their trade. Pastor Nesbitt was doing a roaring business as the faithful came to lay their money on Tam Lucas at generous odds. Then I was surprised to see a certain figure move away from the pastor's pulpit booth.
McCleavy! What are you doing here?
My day off, Lieutenant.
You never have a day off.
I make exceptions. But I am surprised to see you in what appears to be the act of gambling.
All right. I have broken the practice of a lifetime and wagered £25 on Tam Lucas.
That's Derry Nesbitt, I presume.
His odds are best, and my wager is small beer compared to the other members.
I hope your confidence is not misplaced. Tam Lucas did not seem a champion at our station.
He has his reasons for drinking. We all do, McCleavy. His wife is deadly ill with the consumption. He and the daughter try to look after her, but it's a surfer.
All the more reason not to trust him.
Tam will win. He has the steel, the skill, and he knows the course.
Two betting slips. A double hazard, is it?
I have persuaded Mrs. Roach to dip into her savings and triple £10.
I hope you're right, sir. Women hate losing their own money.
Inspector, finally come to lay that bet.
I have indeed.
Let me see my colleague back there.
Jack Mason. Seen him before, in the cells.
He has an unfortunate tendency to violence when the moon is full, but I have reformed him. I'm a great believer in reformation. What do you believe in, Mr. McCleavy?
Conviction. I have money here to back it up, and I want no flimsy betting slip. You may write out on this piece of paper as follows. I, Derry Nesbitt, accept the sum of 1/2 crown from James McCleavy at odds of 3-1 against... Lieutenant Roach, are you familiar with the Queen's opening?
What?
A chess gambit. Mulholland frets upon the correct riposte. That the victor of this golf contest shall be... I thought you was a gaming man.
I know nothing of chess.
Shall be Tam Lucas.
There you are. Done.
There's your 1/2 crown. Does it weigh heavily upon you, Tam?
What? Inspector, I must ask you to leave. This is my locker room.
And are these your boots?
They are indeed.
I brought the cast of this footmark. Your boot matches exactly. The imprint was left at the scene of a murder.
The murder of Dummy Bob.
That's no possible.
5 more minutes, Mr. Lucas. Then you must be on the tee. 5 minutes.
What is your purpose here, Inspector?
Let us suppose a certain bookmaker wished, as it were, to make a killing. He would offer generous odds on a certain sportsman, then bribe him to lose the match. Dummy Bob was sent with the money. You took it.
Then you killed him.
I never killed Dummy Bob.
But you took the bribe.
Where's your proof?
The footprint matches.
Anyone can wear a boot.
Then what of this? A bloodstained rag clutched in the hand of the corpse. Same material as the one you hold in your own hand now.
But I never...
We have other proof. But nothing as strong as your own guilty conscience. Well...
All right, I took the bribe.
Why?
My wife. The illness wastes her every day. Her only hope is to go abroad. Switzerland, they say. The sanatoriums can effect a cure. Had they that kind of money, never would have.
Altruism, was it then?
Eh?
And for your daughter as well. She has no kind of life, has she, Tam?
I took the money, that's all I say.
What about the murder?
When I left Dummy Bob, he was up and breathing.
Yet the night after, you were drinking like a fish. Tried to wash away the blood, eh?
No, that was... Nesbitt's men hauled me off the course, threatened me. Had I got the money, would I keep the bargain? That's all they wanted to know. I said, yes, I had, I would. But later I was that scullered with myself, I went on the whistle.
A fine tale. Who knows what the judge will make of it? You'll come with us now.
No, I have to play the game.
What?
If I don't appear on tee, the match is forfeit to my opponent. Nesbitt will reap the harvest.
He'll reap it anyway. He's paid you to lose.
No. Look over there. That bag. I planned to play fair, and after, win or lose, I'd give it back.
You expect us to believe this?
Why bring the money else out into the open?
Well, maybe you were frightened to leave it behind. Maybe you just like looking at it.
You're too clever for your own
good, son. Why change your mind, Tam?
I cannot go through with it. I love my wife and daughter, but I cannot betray the game.
As long as I live, I will never understand golf and the passion it engenders.
The moment is now, Mr. Lucas. The English champion awaits. Time for battle. Put all thoughts of flogging from your mind and think on Bannockburn.
Well, Inspector, clubs or cuffs, which is it to be?
Whichever serves justice.
Oh, come, holy faith.
A word with you, sir.
Jean Brash. Too late, I'm afraid. I've had to close the book. All good money.
What odds on you getting your throat cut?
I beg your pardon?
When Jessie went in the street early morning, she was barged to the ground and trampled on.
Thieves everywhere. What a world we live in.
The purpose was not theft. It was to intimidate, to keep her mouth shut. She got a glimpse of a man. Jack Mason, one of yours.
I must protest.
No one in my care is abused. Don't provoke me, Pastor. You will regret it.
You know, Mrs. Brash, it strikes me like a bolt from the blue that you and I, rather than being in conflict, might well join forces.
Might we now?
Ah! Tam Lucas has finally emerged. Let battle commence. Think of what I've said, Jean. It's a serious proposition.
I think on everything, Mr. Nesbitt.
Four down after 9 holes.
New wigs at £50. I'll have death money on them.
Tam's no playing bad. Simpson's just eaten up the course. But that appetite of his may yet prove the undoing, Peter.
How so?
At the turn. See how he likes the east wind in his big fat face for the next nine.
Damn fine for the look of that drive.
But a high lout and the wind's pulled it off. It's hard to make the green for there.
Know the way he hits it.
Oh, ye of little faith. Which disciple was a doubter now?
Thomas.
I thought it was Peter.
Oh, he was the rock.
There you see. Tam Lucas, low into the wind. The game's not over yet. Mm-hmm.
And neither it was. The east coast wind is a great leveller and began to nag at Simpson like a discontented wife. He lost his certainty of line and Tam Lucas fought back. By the 18th, they were all square. Simpson hit his drive into the wind bushes to a barely suppressed cheer, but somehow hooked it out of there onto the green. Both men had putts of similar distance, about the length of, say, a half a dozen dead bodies laid end to end. Simpson played first and missed. Now it was the turn of Tam Lucas.
I cannot look.
He's still lining up the putts, sir.
Lining up. Like a firing squad.
You have no soul, MacLeavy. Mulholland, what does it look like? 12 yards if it's an inch. All bumps and borders. 12 disciples, 12 tablets of Rome. Where else is 12?
A number on a hanging jury. Here it goes, Archie.
Here it goes, Peter. Like lowering a coffin into the slot. Sometimes it slides in easy.
And sometimes it's a hellish damn.
I rarely witnessed such jubilation. Grown men hugging each other, tears in every eye. I believe Lieutenant Roach even threw his hat in the air, and of course Mulholland louped away after it and brought it back like a long-haired setter. Yes, the putt went in. Simpson was gracious enough. He held up Tam Lucas's hand in acknowledgement of the better man before they were both engulfed. A tidal wave of joy. Save for one. Amidst all the dancing and celebration, Derry Nesbitt stood as if turned to stone. However, he could not remain so. I watched him later, arm working like a pump handle, as he doled out the winnings to an endless line. It took every penny the pastor had. Every crooked penny. He was, as the chess-playing Mulholland would say, rooked. How sad.
Jean Brash. Have you come to gloat?
Not at all. You are all alone, Derry.
Aye, my friends and colleagues have deserted me. So I retired to my wee office here for the last financial rites.
I hear you search for Tam Lucas.
He owes me a reckoning.
And me. I'm told he killed Dummy Bob.
Why are you here?
An eye for an eye, is that not correct, Derry?
I hold to it.
Tam Lucas, I know his whereabouts.
Tell me. And his fate is sealed.
The locker room at the club.
First place we looked.
That was in day, now it is night, and a fox eye returns to its lair. He's there, you have my word.
Then I shall act upon it.
And I shall bid you good night.
You see this wee revolver, Jean? Fit for a lady's hand. But at close quarters it fires straight as a die. Nesbitt, how in God's name?
Back, into the corner.
Right.
I may have you in my sight.
That's better. Well, Tam.
I was coming to see you anyhow.
I'm sure.
Your bribe money, to give it back, here.
Aye, it seems intact. But not enough, Tam. Not by a long shot.
I should never have taken it.
But you did. And you did not keep your word.
I couldn't have gone through with it.
You should have mentioned that.
You have your money back.
A pittance, a spit in the sea of bankruptcy.
I cannot pay more.
Oh, you can, and will.
No.
Nobody makes a fool out of Pastor Nesbitt. Say your prayers, Tam.
You!
Man, you're a wizard with that stick.
Hurley, sir. A violent game. One mistake and you're a dead man.
I'll take the sweet trinket, Derry. It'll make a fine exhibit at the trial.
Go to hell.
And you'll be waiting for me. You see, I had Tam's testimony. Then I had the note in Dummy Bob's possession. The writing of the name, Tam Lucas, it matched perfect with the hand on that betting note you scribed for me. But I needed to mark sucker. Nail down the lid. And now I have your own admission, witnessed by three.
That dirty Jezebel!
I have no idea to whom you refer. Mulholland, take this gentleman to the station. And hey, Derry, I bet you good money on a conviction.
My curse upon you, McCleavy.
God bless you, Pastor.
Come on, you.
Well, Tam, you helped me in some fashion, and that will go for you at trial. But presently, you and I have a case of murder to solve.
Nothing can help me there. I did it.
You admit it now?
I do.
Why did you kill him?
He took some of the bribe money for himself. We fought over that.
How did you kill him?
Like it said in the paper, head bashed in.
With what?
I killed him. That's enough.
With what?
A stone. A big stone.
So? And you struck him on the back of the head. A coward's blow. Shame on you.
No, he turned the war at the last minute.
You're a liar, Tam. He was hit on the temple by a sharp metal instrument.
I killed him.
You did not. But I know who did.
Have mercy, McCleavy.
There are times when I wish I could, Tam. Times when I wish I could.
I knew something was troubling my father. I thought at first it was a contest. But it was more than that. Profound. Bitter. I followed him that night. She was asleep. The medication put her deep away. I followed him.
Wearing his boots?
With the same size. His dainty feet, my daddy. I took one of the clubs. For safety, I don't know. I just grabbed it. I dogged him. All the way to the links. He met this giant of a man. I saw my father's face. As he turned away by the light of the moon. He was in anguish.
Sarah!
Just here, Mammy. Don't fret. She'll need the medication soon.
You must finish, Sarah.
I pursued the other. Caught him. Demanded he tell me what had transpired. He laughed at me. The giant. Made horrible, slapping, spewing noises in his throat. I thought he was mocking me. I pulled at his arm and he shook me off like an insect. I fell to the ground. He came toward me, grinning. He slavered all over
me.
He
would just be going to pick you up, Sarah. Dummy Bob was a gentle soul.
Didn't he know that? I struck out in fear. He fell like a tree. I tried to stop the blood.
With a cloth, a piece of rag.
I used it to clean Dad's clubs. An old piece of bedding I cut up. I used it. But it was no good. His eyes turned up. His head fell back. His body all shook. Then it stopped. I ran away. I would never have let my father take the blame.
Ah, a sad, dreary business it is. Poor Tam.
His actions will count for him in court, sir.
But he'll never play golf again, not as a profession.
Tragic.
What about the daughter, sir?
Oh, I can just hear the lawyer now. Young girl, feared for her life, big giant like a monster in the fairy tale.
Quite right, too.
Dummy Bob did not deserve to die, Lieutenant.
I don't know of a man who ever thought he did, Inspector.
What about the mother?
I have made a collection from the club members, mostly their winnings from Derry Nesbitt. She will be cared for up to the trial and beyond.
Very decent, sir.
Yes, thank you. That poor family.
Uh-huh. But there is the small matter of bribery, corruption, and at the very least, manslaughter.
You have Derry Nesbitt. Is that not enough?
Not under the law. And you know the law, sir.
Constable Mulholland, I am going to my office. I do not wish to be disturbed by anyone.
I'll make sure of that, sir.
Thank you.
Lieutenant Roach.
What is it?
That collection. Did Mrs. Roach contribute?
She is not a member of the club. Good day.
And this is the society you would aspire to, Mulholland.
Can't stay on the farm forever, sir.
A letter for you.
Well, hand it over.
Oh.
How are your ribs, Jessie?
Much the same.
At least they're not broken.
If you hadn't hinted to McLeavy in that carriage, I wouldn't be in this state.
Ah, but it was all worth it, eh?
Jean Brash, my plan to scotch a certain snake would have worked in any case, but your offer to point his way may have helped in some small part. Of course, you did it for your own selfish ends, and it is the first and last time that your objectives and those of justice have corresponded.
I suppose I must thank you, but I owe you nothing, and I shall not sign this missive for fear you may use it against me in the future. Yours, Anonymous. Tell me, Jessie, if your life was at stake and you had to rely on one person, who would it be?
Myself.
A sad conclusion.
How I see it. What about you, mistress?
My secret, Jessie. And I'm keeping it.
For his misdemeanors, Derry Nesbitt received a term of 25 years in prison. No doubt he might start a book on how many cockroaches would walk over his body in that time, but I doubted it. I allowed myself a small glow of satisfaction in contrast to the cold, sick look on his face as he was led off. But when it came to the Lucas pair, events took a very different turn. The presiding judge was one Hilton MacGregor, a tall, cadaverous man with a pronounced slice, who had recently, after many years of endeavour, been elected to the select committee of the Royal Musselburgh Golf Club. I detected the far from fine hand of Lieutenant Roach in all this. MacGregor huffed and puffed and spoke most sternly, but in the end handed down to father and daughter sentences lenient to the point of derisiveness. Dummy Bob was buried, not in a pauper's grave. Jean Brash had also made a collection amongst her members, but with a proper headstone and even a few mourners. Jessie, Jean, herself, Rab the Delver, and someone who watched from a distance hidden by the rhododendron bushes at Leith Cemetery. They were in bloom some months later, when I was on a saunter through, and I saw a female figure bending over Bob's resting place to leave a small posy of flowers. Sarah Lucas. She stared me in the eye, turned and walked off through the graves. Each one a bunker of sorts, I suppose, but then I have never seen the game of golf as a metaphor for life. Though the phrase best fitted to describe it might also apply to our mortal voyage, a good walk spoiled. As for me, my game is with the devil. It will cease only on the day I die, and I feel certain that he will lay no flowers upon my grave.
A Good Walk Spoiled by David Ashton starred Brian Cox with Siobhan Redmond as Jean Brash and featured Michael Percival Maxwell, Tracy Wiles, John Bett, David McHale, Carolyn Bonneman and David Bannerman. The series is produced by Patrick Rayner.